Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to all of my precious, beloved brothers and sisters. Hope you're doing well. We had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas Day service to the glory of God, to the glory of our Savior. Indeed, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was born. And he came and he died and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again and then ascended to the Father, and right now sits at his right hand waiting for a word from the Father to come back and get us. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are in Romans 16:20. This is the final series of the year. This will be series number 52. Can you believe that? We started way back in January, and we have worked our way through 52 Bible studies. Amazing is the Lord. Amazing, amazing. Who gives us these wonderful opportunities to sit at his feet and receive his word. Let's read Romans 16:20. And it says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Today we're talking about the God of peace. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We praise your name. We worship and honor you, and we thank you for your dear son, Jesus Christ. A son is born. Unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Thank you, Lord Father, for giving us your son Jesus, that he may be God with us. And what a blessed people we are, in that he is always and eternally with his people. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with such a gift. Bless this study. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Holy Spirit, we yield to you this morning. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you right now. Have your way with our hearts. Make our hearts and our minds pliable to your will. This we ask, this we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The portion of scripture that we're going to be dealing with today is called, "And the God of Peace, the God of Peace." Well, if you did an in-depth study of the book of Romans, you would discover that throughout Romans, God is trying to reconcile sinful man to himself. Sinful man is at war with God. Sinful man is in rebellion towards God. Sinful man wants nothing to do with God. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It will not subject itself to the ways of the Lord. Sinful man, fallen man, Adamic man, the sons of Adam, war with God. But God has sent forth his ambassadors. God has sent forth his preachers. God has sent forth men like Paul and Peter and others throughout the ages. And God has called them ambassadors or ministers of reconciliation. God was in Christ, Paul says, reconciling himself, the world, reconciling the world to himself. In other words, in the gospel, the Lord Jesus was preaching peace, and his disciples went forth preaching peace. And we, his present-day ministers, are preaching peace. Peace with God. How can man have peace with God? Well, it's very easy. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore being justified," the word justified is a legal term. It means to be given right standing. As sinners, we have wrong standing. As sinners, we have no standing. Not only do we have wrong standing because we're wrong and we're sinful, but in essence, we have no standing with God. We have no right to stand before God and claim anything. Plead with him to give us anything. But being justified, being given right standing, those of us who had no standing and those of us who had wrong standing are now given right standing. Therefore, being justified, being given right standing with God by faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he your God and Savior? Is he your Redeemer? Then if he is, you have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace. The enmity has ended. The war between man, sinful man, and God has ended. And this war ends as each man, each woman, each young person comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Every human being has a personal war with God. You know, when I witness in the street, when I talk to people about the Lord and they rebuff me and they say, "I don't want that, that's garbage," or "I don't believe in that," I don't take it personal because their war, their enmity is with God. But then there are others who, when they hear the message, God imparts to them, gives them the gift of faith, and they believe. And the moment that they believe, the moment that they put their trust in Jesus, they're given right standing. They're justified. And when they're given right standing, then they have peace with God. The enmity has come to an end. The war between that sinful man, that sinful heart, that sinful conscience has come to an end with God. So this is why God is called the God of peace, because he's the author of saving peace. He's the author. He's the author. Now, if we turn to Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, and if we start reading at verse 30, now we didn't cover any of this. We didn't cover Romans 5, 1, and we have not covered Romans 15, verses 30 through 33. We're just going to look at it very briefly as a way of supplying us a little bit of added information. The Apostle Paul here is ending his practical part of his epistle, and he's making an appeal to the Roman saints to pray for him, to pray, to join him in prayer, that all of the plots and all of the schemes and all of the machinations of Satan's ministers against him would be brought to naught. So let's read Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I might be delivered. Notice, he needs deliverance. How does Paul acquire that deliverance? Well, if we pray for him, if we intercede on his behalf to say, God, deliver Paul. Why, Lord? Why should you deliver Paul? Well, because he's surrounded by wicked men who do not want him to arrive at Rome to minister to the saints of Rome in person. So Paul says, join me in prayer that God would deliver me from evil men. He goes on to say, from them that do not believe in Judea. There's a whole group of people in Judea who are opposed to the gospel of grace that I preach. They don't believe in this gospel which God has given me for the saving of man. They oppose me. They fight me tooth and nail. They are set up in array, if you will, against me. As one army stands in battle against another, they are opposing my coming to you in Rome. So he goes on to say, pray that God would deliver me from those who do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I come unto you with joy by the will of God, that you may be refreshed by my teaching. Now, the God of peace, there is that phrase again, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. In other words, the God who gave you saving peace. You are in right standing with God. Paul says you can run to God. You can go boldly to his throne of grace and plead and intercede on my behalf because you've been given right standing with God. You're not like sinners who are opposed to God. Sinner man is opposed to God, hates God, wouldn't run to the throne of God to pray for anything, but not you. You've been born again. You've been born from above. You have been regenerated. You are born again. You are disciples of Christ. Therefore, I implore you, pray to God. Strive with me. Join me in prayer. Join me as we form a concert of prayer so that our prayers may go up to God and that he may deliver me from these men who oppose my ministry and who oppose my coming to you. Pray that the God of peace may bring about my deliverance. So now we turn to Romans 16:20, and he says, and the God of peace. Now, this God of peace, this phrase here, the God of peace, is in a different context. It's in a different context from Romans 15:33. You see, Paul is in Judea as he's sending this letter. Paul is in Judea, and he's being opposed over there. There are sinful men at war with Paul over where he's at. And therefore, he needs the God of peace to be with him. But then in Rome, which is far away from Judea, Satan is also battling the saints of Rome. And as we have read in verses 17, 18, and 19 of this chapter, we've already covered Romans 16, 17, 18, and 19, where Paul says, listen, I beseech you, mark those who are coming. I predict they're coming. They're coming to cause division, to produce offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have believed, which you have learned, and avoid these people. For these people do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is warning them of wolves that are coming. So he's under attack over there in Judea, where he's currently at, and the Romans will soon be under attack where they are. And for both instances, Paul calls upon the God of peace. Now, why does Paul call upon the God of peace here in Romans 16:20? Well, because, again, Satan is preventing Paul from coming to Rome. How is he preventing him? Well, by surrounding him with wicked men, with opposers of the truth. While Satan is blocking Paul's arrival at Rome, at the same time that he's blocking Paul, Satan is also dispatching enemies of the Church of Rome who come as false apostles, who will arrive claiming apostleship, claiming a preaching grace, a teaching grace like Paul. And Paul says to them, listen, they are not sent of God. These men with what? With good words and fair speeches are out to deceive the hearts of the saints. They're there to cause division. So Paul says, he says this, the God of peace. Who is this God of peace? Well, the God of peace is the God who opposes Satan's ministers. Paul has predicted that they will come and bring with them their evil intentions that will be manifested in what? Divisions, disharmony, and strife. The fruit of the ministry of the ministers of Satan is what? Divisions, disharmony, and strife. The opposite of what the saints of Rome have. What do they have? They have love and unity. They love each other. They are so united. But Satan's emissaries are coming, and they're bringing a different fruit. Therefore, Paul says, may the God of peace. Who is this God of peace? Let me submit to you first and foremost that he is the author of familial and congregational peace. We can only have family peace. We're a family. The church, the people of God are one big spiritual family. So God is the author of familial. He wants there to be peace among his born again children. He is the author of familial and congregational peace. But he's just not the author of that peace. He's also the imparter. He imparts it. He gives it to us as a gift. He just didn't write it up. He just didn't plan it. He just didn't define what peace was. Then once he's created it and defined it and perfected it, then he imparts it as a gift to his children. And then when they are under attack, he is the conserver of that peace. How is he the conserver? Well, he gives us warnings by the pen of Paul. Paul says, listen, I feel inspiration. I feel led of the Spirit of God to warn you in advance that there are men heading your way that are out to destroy your peace. Now, here's God's remedy. If you apply it, If you avoid these men, you will conserve the peace that God has authored and the peace that God has imparted. You see, my brothers and sisters, God's peace produces lasting unity. So, my brothers and sisters, he is the God of peace. May we, listen, may we what? May we receive the peace that he imparts. May we study the peace that he has authored. And may we contend for the peace he would have us to conserve. You know, if you want to keep something good going, you're going to have to fight for it. That's right. Listen to me. You want a good marriage? You got to fight for a good marriage. Because there are all kinds of forces out there trying to rip your marriage apart. You want a good family? You want to have a good family unit? You want to have a family unit according to Scripture? You better fight for it. Why? Because out there in the world, there are forces trying to tear apart the family and the family unit, and they're trying to recreate it and redefine it. And it's an abomination before the Lord. You see, my brothers and sisters, to have this peace, which God would have us to conserve, in order to conserve it, you're going to have to fight for it. Let's leave it there. I'll be back tomorrow as we continue looking at Romans 16:20. Let me remind you all that we have prayer tomorrow night. I look forward to having you all on the prayer line tomorrow night. It's going to be our last prayer service of the year. And don't forget, this Sunday we have our much anticipated cantata. Don't forget to pray for Sister Caroline Hayes and for all of those who were not in church this past Sunday, that they may be well, that they may be up and about, that the Lord may heal them and bring them into good health so that we may all be together this coming Sunday, January the 1st. Until tomorrow, the Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you.